I want to introduce you to the songwriting team of David and Dan Was, founders of the band Was Not Was.
I'm David Was. Oh, no. Okay.
That's actually not true. I'm David Was, and I write all the lyrics and throw in an occasional monkey wrench into the musical arrangements.
I'm Dan Was. I write the music, engineer the records, play keyboards and bass.
The Wuzzes are David Weiss and Don Fagenson. Their group includes two soul singers, Sweet Pea Atkinson, a former auto worker who had bands around Detroit, and Harry Bowens, who used to work with the OJs. Was Not Was's former record company had written them off, too hard to categorize. But now they're back on a new label with a new album called What Up Dog, and they have a single in the top 20, Spy in the House of Love.
Filled with suspicion, she pulled us to my team and tried to guess my mission. I pretended to know nothing, especially your discretion, but she turned those frightened eyes on me and demanded a confession. I told her I am a spy.
If someone hears something like Spy in the House of Love on the radio, they'll think, well, you know, here's a pop band or another dance band doing a single. That's nice. They'd have no idea the context that falls into within the record and all this other stuff that's happening, all the other stuff that you do.
Yeah, that was sort of our curse at our last record company. We did an album with Mel Torme and Ozzy Osbourne and Mitch Ryder all on a single record. And the company was afraid, gee, if you release the Ozzy, what about the people who like Mel and the rest? Well, we've narrowed it down a little. At least we have lead singers who are identifiable as our sound. But still, there's left turns and right turns and detours on the record that are hard to kind of figure out.
Yeah, I like to think that one didn't turn off the Ed Sullivan Show after Topo Gigio was on, right? You stayed for the...
what I was trying to remember. I couldn't remember Topo Gigio's name, but that was the metaphor I was going to use.
This is an unusual arrangement in a way. Usually the people for whom the band is named are the people who are up front in a band. Now, you both write the songs.
Mm-hmm.
You do some of the arrangements, but not all of them. And you do some backup work instrumentally. But you're not up front. You're not the lead singers.
We're not the singers. I think that's primarily what makes it different.
Did you ever do that kind of stuff yourself before deciding that you wanted other people to be up front?
I think basically we developed this idea with, you know, black popular music in mind, and early on came across two incredible singers, and it seemed rather pointless to, you know, to try to imitate it when you had the genuine item ready and willing to.
Did you find that it confounded the record industry to have two white guys form a band, write the songs, and hire two black lead singers to perform them? And I ask that knowing how divided racially the music industry is nowadays.
It was very tough. Ultimately, we had to go to Europe in order to achieve some level of success, but not before we'd been through a series of misadventures wherein we were ushered into the black department at Warner Brothers, and they said, all right, you guys are the band? No pictures for 6 months. And conversely, our second label said, okay, get rid of the black singers. You guys are white. We're going to be a rock and roll band.
How did you start writing dance music?
I just think, I felt an attraction to it. We grew up in Detroit in a great period in the late 60s where, you know, Motown music was still being made in Detroit, and George Clinton came and played at our high school. And
how about that Death of Disco rap you do? Come on.
Would you like to hear that?
Yes, okay. I would.
It's one of my favorite stories.
The boy's gone crazy. It's not just a phase. He's one step over the line. The boy's gone crazy. He's seen his better days. He's really gone for good this time.
I want to ask you about a couple of the other songs on the record. Your song Walk the Dinosaur, I think it's in the great tradition of novelty dance songs.
Yeah.
Did you always like those, the novelty dance hits?
Oh, Don and I have no bigger fantasy than winding up like Freddy and the Dreamers.
Do the Freddy.
Yes. Yeah, actually written sort of as an absurdist throwaway, but Yeah, we've got ourselves pigeonholed in England as do the dinosaur boys, would you please, boys?
Continue the tradition on this new record of having other singers come on. In your previous album, you had Mel Torme and Ozzy Osbourne, and Mitch Ryder. And in this one, you have Frank Sinatra Jr. Doing a song called Wedding Vows in Vegas. Tell me the story of the song and why you felt that you needed Frank Sinatra Jr. to sing it.
Well, this was sort of a song about the tawdriness and chanciness of marriages made in Vegas, but trying to talk about the entire picture as a whole, like how chancy love is in general. But it had every detail from a cheap Vegas storefront wedding. And who better, I say, to represent that feeling than a man who's been in the trenches, that junior chairman of the board, Frank Jr.
Plastic flowers in her hair, don't they make a lovely pair? Met last night at the slot machines, him in leather, her in jeans. All night preacher does the ceremony, his wife throws minute rice, her tears are phony. But wedding vows in Vegas aren't meant to last for ages. You've got to be courageous to play the odds that love will win, whatever city you're in.
Is there a style that you do that you think of as being more of your style than any of the other styles that you do?
Well, let me put it this way. David and I alone can do a record like Dad, I'm in Jail, or Earth to Doris, or What Up, Dog, I think. You know, that's our tradition. When we started at age 12 with a sound-on-sound tape recorder, they came out more like that. So I suppose that's our truest sound. As we start adding more musicians to the stew and introducing more elements, we get further from that true self, but that might be okay too.
You both want coffee, the waitress asked?
Yeah, two coffees, that's perfect on this cold, dim, fluorescent morning. And a couple of those donuts over there, right, Doris? Right, Doris? Earth to Doris, Earth to Doris! Come in, Doris.
So you guys met when you were 12 years old?
Yeah.
That would be what, junior high school?
Yeah, seventh grade.
Did you go to integrated junior high schools?
Yeah,
high
we sure
schools?
Did. It's a very odd combination that probably sets the tone for the whole band, which was 80% Jewish with busing. So the composition of the school was about 60% Jewish, 40% Black. I think
100% anarchist.
Yeah.
Did you have bands in junior high and high
school?
Well,
what we had was there were several Black a cappella vocal groups, and David and I were the musicians. So we were like the house band in all the school talent shows and everything, which drew an immediate bond between us and the Black population there.
I also played basketball, which, we hung. I mean, definitely it was our fantasy. I mean,
what was your fantasy?
Well, our cultural heroes were not Pat Boone and Liberace. It was Miles Davis and Coltrane and Smokey Robinson, I guess. So really, when I pictured myself in a dream, it was wearing a lime green walking suit and, you know.
I would say what we're doing right now, this is the most enjoyable moment of the tour, I think, is when you catch yourself on stage and realize that this is the band we always dreamed of playing in, sort of for two white guys, you know, to actually be considered purveyors of the tradition of soul music.
Don Was and David Was of the group Was Not Was. Their new album, What Up Dog, is on Chrysalis Records.
JFK went down to Dallas to cool some heels in the oil palace. Unfriendly country, but he was unafraid. He would wave to the people from a passing motorcade at 11 miles an hour. Such a deadly speed. Slow.
Fresh Air.